beautiful that we got.
And we became the lead pastors for 7 years. But as to the family, and for those of you who don't know us, forgive me while I just boast for a couple minutes on our family, if that's okay.
Sunday mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Passage this morning that I wanted to just maybe elaborate in terms of our role and our level of participation in sharing the gospel with one another. And so in this passage, we not only encounter just this wonderful story, but we encounter this powerful narrative where Jesus himself transforms a regular fishing expedition. I know that we've got a fishing expediter here in the crowd today. Ian, you're a professional fisherman and you take lots of guys out on journeys. But Jesus, on that morning that he was preaching the word, he saw an opportunity to take what was just maybe a normal night of fishing for these early disciples and to transform it into a miracle, something where it was no longer just about this miracle catch of fish, which is remarkable in and of itself, but it became this supernatural calling to transform regular fishermen, regular Joes like you and I, perhaps, and make them fishers of souls. Really quite remarkable. But there's 3 points this morning that I want to draw out of this passage and perhaps even out of my own experience that might help to elaborate and maybe even bring you some encouragement in your participation in being an evangelist, okay? So hold tight because I'm going to do my best to get through these. The first thing is that what God calls us to doesn't always make sense in the natural. Does it? We can see in this story how Jesus had just finished preaching to this crowd from the boat, and he sees Simon Peter, and he says, basically, after he had finished preaching, he already knew that they had been out all night, that they had caught nothing, but he says to Peter, go out and put that boat back into the deep. Cast those nets again. And if you can just picture with me, it was likely starting to get fairly warm. And if you know this, and I'm not a great fisherman, but I know that the best fishing is likely either in the morning or in the evening, in the cool of day. Am I right? Yes. So it was likely getting to be fairly hot. And so Jesus says to Peter, he says, go ahead and put those nets out again. And I'm sure that Peter was kind of, in a way, scratching his head, wondering, what on earth, who on earth is this Jesus telling me to put my nets out into the deep? And we can see many circumstances like this in the scripture, can't we, where Jesus or God instructs people or there's really some maybe peculiar calls on people. I think of Jesus calling to Peter as well to walk on water. I mean... a little bit peculiar, perhaps, where Jesus turns the water into wine, his first miracle, where donkeys are talking in the Old Testament, and where he called the children of Israel to march around the walls and blow the trumpets, and sure enough, as a result of that obedience, the walls of Jericho fell. One that I just saw in imagery the other day was using spit and mud to put on people's eyes where Jesus did this. And as a result of that, the blind eyes saw. So perhaps you too have seen maybe some peculiar things or heard some peculiar instructions from the Lord and seen God manifest himself in maybe some different ways. I think perhaps that if you're here this morning and you hear my voice, you can attest that maybe there is something peculiar that the Lord has called you to. I mean, you are in the north. And I'm not saying this as an insult. I'm saying this as something very strategic, that God has placed you in Yellowknife. I think that there's a reason why the population of Yellowknife is not a million people, because I really believe that God has called you to a peculiar place for a time and a purpose. So regardless of where you're at, I truly believe that as we learn to step out in faith and we believe that even if it doesn't make sense, we have faith to believe and to step out in obedience. I really believe that as we continue to learn to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, as we listen keenly for his voice, he will lead us to very specific people under very specific circumstances to make his message known. Do you agree? I can't help but think of the story of our founder. You saw him in the video, Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard was a very humble missionary working in the rural regions of South Africa. He was growing increasingly frustrated because sometimes he would walk for days and days and days to visit a village to only have 3, 4, or 5 people show up at his meetings. As I said, he was increasingly frustrated and was really wondering, where is the power of God in all of this? But he continued to give his yes to the Lord. No matter what, he would press on and he would endure. And then one night, and for 3 consecutive nights, he had a vision, a dream of a map of Africa being washed in the blood of Jesus. And he knew that after he had that for consecutive nights, that this was not just a case of eating bad bananas or something. It was actually God that was speaking to him. And one of the little known facts about Reinhard Bonnke and his life is that as the Lord revealed to him that he had called him to Africa, he had also told him that there were 2 others that God had called, but they said no. They didn't feel as though that was their call or that mantle. But I really truly believe with all my heart that because Reinhard Bonnke said yes to the Lord, that he anointed him with a mighty power, a mighty fire from heaven to see multiple millions of souls saved, not because of his ability, but because he said yes. Because he made himself available to the Lord, God took his yes and he multiplied it. Just like Jesus tells Simon, put your nets out into the deep. And he was like, well, whatever. So sure enough, he did. And he multiplied the results. I'm sure that they had never seen a catch like that. And perhaps there was never even a recorded catch in history quite like what they saw that night or that morning. So you may find yourselves, friends, in deep or dark or peculiar places in life, wondering how on earth you got there. But I really believe with all my heart that God is a God that can make something beautiful come from ashes. He can bring the oil of joy for your mourning. He can place on you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Just really quickly here, one of the side hustles. I know that many of you have side hustles here in Yellowknife. I had a side hustle. I was a flight attendant for First Air. That was before they amalgamated with Canadian North. And I was slinging coffee for years and throwing breakfast at people and offering the hot towels and all that. And I did my best to do that with a smile on my face. But to be completely honest with you, there were times when it was extremely frustrating and wearying. Many of you know that the airline industry is perhaps not the purest. There's a lot of corruption and greed and infidelity and all of that stuff. And there would be times when I would be on my way to go do what was called an 852. It was the northern route through all of the communities. And you know, I would do my best to smile and to pray and all of that stuff, but I just really wasn't seeing fruit so much from that. But sure enough, how many of you remember the great airline crash of 2010, I believe it was, when First Air went down in Fort Resolute? I remember seeing the headlines that morning and my heart just breaking, knowing that friends of mine had perished. And yet at the same time, just feeling this surge of boldness from the Holy Spirit to say, God, whatever you want, you have my yes. And I immediately got into the car and ran down to the First Air hangar. And of course, there were many people that were there in total disbelief and in grief. And somehow, by God's grace, he was able to use me and my yes to minister. I was able to do several of the funerals, but even in every funeral, to be able to preach the gospel message to people, to truly tell them that there was a blessing for those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, to truly believe that there is hope for those beyond the grave if you have Jesus in your life. And I tell you, as I remember as that season closed, just feeling so tired, but so full of peace in knowing that there was a purpose in that. And friends, you may have been here your whole life, and you may be just waiting. You may be just waiting and praying. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He doesn't make mistakes, not in how he's created you, not in how he's formed you. He has not made a mistake in where he's placed you for this season, for such a time as this. Secondly, friends, I want you to know that our faith doesn't always yield the results that we expect. I think that we need to learn to have faith in God's plans, faith in God's purposes. But sometimes I think that we can somehow manufacture what we expect the results will look like. And I know for certain in my own life there have been so many times when I just think, oh, well, yeah, there'll be thousands of people that will come to this meeting, and there'll be multiple hundreds of people that will give their lives to Jesus, and praise the Lord, that will be awesome. And I don't want you to stop dreaming. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I believe that God has placed dreams in our hearts. But what I want you to know today is to raise your expectation of God and lower your expectation of man. I'll say that again. Raise your expectation of who God is and who God's power, what God's power can do in you and through you. And just bring that expectation of humankind down to a level of, okay, well, I trust God, so I trust you, but however it works out is fine. And let me just tell you this story. Very early in our time back in London, we were, one of the things that I love about living in Ontario is Costco. Sorry. we were coming out of Costco, and I think we were still in somewhat of an oblivion because it's like we get to live in this town where there's a Costco. Like, wow, praise God, we have arrived. We are next door to heaven. I'm kidding. But Costco is not all it's cracked up to be. But anyways, we were coming out of Costco, and there was we were getting the kids into the van. They were still in car. Some of them were still in car seats at the time, and we were getting some groceries put into the vehicle. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a man coming out of Costco, and he was in obvious pain. It wasn't that I had this word of knowledge or anything like that. He was just clearly in some very uncomfortable circumstances. He was carrying what appeared to be a prescription, maybe for some painkillers or something like that. And I heard in my mind, I sensed that the Lord said, "Ryan, go pray for that guy." And I'm not this real bold evangelist just all of a sudden going up to people and saying, "Can I pray for you?" Every now and then I do. But here's the point. We buckle the kids in real quick, and we actually pull out of our parking spot. He was way on the other side of the Costco parking lot, and we pull up, and I actually block him in so he can't go anywhere. and I get out of the van, and I walk up to him, and I'm like, "Sir, I couldn't help but notice that you're in a lot of pain. Could I pray for you?" And he kind of looked at me a little bit weird. And then in a very broken English, he had a very thick Russian accent. He proceeded to tell me that he had been in a car accident and that he was in a lot of pain and that his back has never been the same since. And I felt faith really rising up in me. I was like, "Okay, well, we're going to pray. We're going to watch God do a miracle today." Meanwhile, on the way over there, the kids are like, "Dad, what are you doing?" And even Teresa, like, full of faith, she's like, "Ryan, are you sure about this?" And I'm like, "No, we're going to prove to our kids that God is the healer and God takes care and God sustains and all of that stuff. And God's going to pour out his love." And so I lay my hand on him and I pray this, what I would call an awesome prayer of faith. "God, heal this guy in the name of Jesus. Let him know your love. Let him know your peace." And then I open my eyes and I look at him, and he's clearly got like tears streaming down his face, and this great big smile comes on my face. And I'm like, "Sir, has Jesus healed you?" And he's like, "No. But now I give you great big kiss." And he pulls me in. He gives me a great sloppy wet kiss right on the face. And I was like, "Okay, have a good day, sir." I was kind of shaking going back to the van. And I get in the van and the kids are like, "Dad, did that guy just kiss you on the face?" I was like, yes. Oh, well. Perhaps I was a little bit embarrassed, and perhaps I had my pride knocked down a little bit. But there was some things that I learned in that situation. And I don't know what God ever did in that man's body. I don't know if he ever came to faith. I pray that he did. But I believe that some seeds were sown that day. And I believe that God is faithful. Because, you know, the results of that prayer were not up to me. And the results of your prayers for people are not up to you. But the act of obedience is up to you. The act of sowing the seed in faith and leaving that result completely in the Lord's hands is up to you. How many of you are prepared to become even more undignified than this? Even if it means getting a sloppy wet kiss from a man that is just, we won't even go there. Just to say your yes to Jesus. I tell you, friends, it's worth it all. And when we look back at this passage, I think this is maybe one of the foremost statements for those who wish or desire to practice evangelism or just even simple obedience to the Lord. The words of Peter in the NIV were, when Jesus told him to go out and to cast his nets into the deep, Jesus said, or Peter says, I have been fishing all night. Ultimately, I'm sure he was in his heart, I'm exhausted, Lord. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I didn't catch a thing all night. But because you say so, I will. Because you said so, I will. And I wonder, friends, if this could become our motto for evangelism, our motto for serving the Lord, our motto for serving the church, our motto for just saying yes to the Lord. It may be, Jesus, I'm just not feeling it today. But because you say so, I will. Jesus, I'm not seeing the results that I was expecting. I'm not seeing the droves of people coming to know you or the healings that I was expecting. But because you say so, I will. It may be, Jesus, I'm afraid of being persecuted and rejected. But because you say so, Lord, I will. And friends, today when you say your yes to the Lord and you say that, I believe that you will begin to see those results. I believe that those miracles will begin to happen in and around your life. But I don't want you to become discouraged and lose faith and just stop it altogether when you don't see the results that you want. But again, raise your expectation of God and lower your expectation of man. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it was him that planted, but it was Apollos that watered. But ultimately, it's God who brings the increase. All God is asking for is your yes. Will you give him your yes today? Just very quickly here, I wanted to share this third point. Evangelism needs to be based out of a love relationship with Jesus. It absolutely must be that it's not this obligation or this duty. Yes, there is an obligation. Yes, there is a call. We are all called to this great commission. But friends, can I encourage you to let your roots go deep into the soil of God's love. And from your roots being deep in his soil, in that soil of his love, I believe that there will be something that will rise up within you. I believe that there will be fruit that will come. Just very quickly want to share one more story with you. Just a few months ago, I was at a meeting of our Christ for All Nations at our head office in Florida, and we were encouraged to just close our eyes and wait on the Lord and ask him for a picture. And almost immediately as I closed my eyes, the Lord gave me this picture of this place where I had spent so much time with my childhood best friend. His name was Paul. And Paul and I, almost every day of every summer, would go fishing at this spot. And we did everything that we could to become good fishermen. You know, we saved up money from our paper routes, and we would buy fishing poles and bait and all of that stuff. And we would daily come to this place where we'd bring some snacks, and, you know, we'd bait the hook and all of that stuff, and we would cast the line into the water. And, you know, every now and then we'd get hot and we'd jump into the water and probably scare all the fish away. But we would just have so much fun there, casting the line and reeling it in. and casting the line and reeling in, and casting and reeling, and casting and reeling. And friends, you want to know how many fish we caught over all of the years of us fishing together on summer days? You want to know how many we caught? 17, that's a good guess. Very kind of you. We caught one fish. And I'm sure that Ian could probably tell me everything that I did wrong. But I tell you, when we reeled in that one fish, we celebrated. Oh, boy. We jumped in the water, and we were flailing all over the place. We were like, we felt like we had won the lottery because here we had this one fish. And I'm not exaggerating. One fish. We were ready to take it home and put it on a trophy. It was fantastic, and we were so celebrating. But what it reminded me of, that entire picture, that entire story, is the fact that Jesus wants to go fishing for souls with us. For us to kind of think, well, it's my duty and obligation to train myself and to become full of passion and to know all of the tools, that's all fine. That's all good, and I encourage that. At CFAN, we've got some wonderful evangelism training tools that really help people win the loss to Christ. But can I encourage you more than anything? Jesus wants to go fishing for souls with you. I believe with all my heart that he wants to be there with you. Again, I just see that imagery of just him sitting there speaking to you, you hearing his voice, and you responding with that act of love and that act of obedience. May it be, friends, that we never try to do this on our own, or that it becomes something that it's like, oh, I have to. But it's, Lord, because you say so, I will, and I love you. But it's not so much, God, do I have to? It's, God, I get to do this with you. I get to see lost people come to know you with you. Absolutely. It needs to be a thrill and a pleasure. May it be, friends, that just as the disciples, they saw this miracle and Peter, I keep calling him Peter, he was Simon at the time. Simon falls at Jesus' feet and just says, Jesus, just go. I'm so unworthy. But I love Jesus' response. He's like, son, get up. Follow me. In other words, I'm inviting you to this work of the kingdom. I'm inviting you to come alongside me and to watch and to participate, to see souls saved, to no longer fish for fish, but to fish for souls. How many of you love Jesus today? How many of you have encountered him in your life? How many of you desire for your friends and your family, your coworkers, to come to that place of knowing him? I pray that it stirs in your heart a passion, a longing to see lost loved ones, people on the streets come to know him, people in your workplaces come to know him, and we pray for that. There is an urgency to let people know how much Jesus loves them. And friends, I think that we far overcomplicate it. It really is a matter of just saying, Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you right now? And you would be amazed at the miracles that will happen when you simply just say yes. You set aside your fears, you set aside your inhibitions, and you simply just say, because you say so, Jesus, I will. Jesus, I will. Can I just get you to stand here this morning? I'm going to pray over you, and Pastor Jabin, if you want to come back, I know that there's a couple other things that you want to do. I don't know if there's a closing song, but could I just encourage you this morning? if you just are perhaps at that crossroads between knowing Jesus and letting people know of his love for them, for that Jesus loves them and cares for them, and you just desire that impartation of strength and power, but more than anything, you just need that resurgence of the love that Jesus has for you. Will you just raise your hand? Wonderful, wonderful. I want to just pray for you even right now in this place. And if you want to start playing, feel free. That's great. But I just want to pray for you. If you would just be so bold as to just stretch out your arms, just even in that posture of just receiving, I just want to speak the love of Jesus over you this morning. I just want to speak the power of his grace, the wonder of who he is over each and every one of you. Receive his love today. Receive his love. Holy Spirit, you are working, you are moving, you are ministering in this place today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, would you touch each and every heart, each and every soul in this place? Renew that longing for you. Renew that passion for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your great love. Your great love. And if you're in this place this morning and you have not yet received Jesus, and you're probably saying, man, that guy is a little bit weird. But you want to encounter the love of Jesus for the first time in your life, will you just raise your hand? Is there anyone here this morning that wants to receive Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want to receive Jesus for the first time here this morning, will you just pray this prayer with me? God, I thank you for your love that's been displayed through Jesus. I receive him now into my life. Will you forgive me of my sins and lead me in a relationship with you? I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come even now and fill me. Help me along this journey in Jesus' name. Friends, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, I just want to say welcome to the family of God. You're a son, you're a daughter of the King, and he loves you. He's got a purpose for your life. Can you be sure to talk to Pastor Jabeen or Jess after? I know that there's others who are here that would love to pray with you. I'd just love to pray a blessing over you. And again, Pastor Jabeen, if you'd like to come, I want to just speak in the name of Jesus. The Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you and grant you peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Love you all so much. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.